bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Finding God in Prison. This is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This week we celebrate the Feast of the Immaculate Conception and also the Feast Day of Our Lady of Guadalupe coming up on December 12th. And these are special celebrations identifying our Blessed Mother as truly a person who has impacted not only the Catholic Church but the world, and has made an impact on the hearts and minds of people in different countries. And I know for myself, you know, Our Lady has definitely made an impact on me personally. And I want to share with you a couple things today as we get into Finding God in Prison. The story itself of the WINGS program, which began in December of 1993. This month, this week, we begin our 30th year in the WINGS program. And it's a special story which truly God has blessed me with. And it all began at Our Lady of Calvary Elementary School. And, you know, God was in the process of waking me up. And so finding God in different places is the theme for our show. And I know for me, going into Our Lady of Calvary Elementary School for the first time and meeting Sister Mildred, introducing her to the WINGS program, and then going into the classroom and talking to the students was a special opportunity. And when Sister Mildred walked into that classroom, all of the students stood up and said, "Good morning, Sister Mildred." And I couldn't believe the respect that they were showing to Sister Mildred. It had been many years since I attended Our Lady of Mount Carmel Elementary School in New York City. And when Sister Mildred introduced me to the students, I walked in and all the students stood up once again. And at that moment, I realized that I had been separated from this level of respect in a Catholic institution. I hadn't seen it for many years because of many things. But I tell you that because, excuse me, our show is called Finding God in Prison. And I found God in that classroom. And God began to work in my life and propel me into more than 100 schools with the WINGS program, going to Catholic schools, Christian schools, charter schools, public schools, bringing the messages that God asked me to bring in through the WINGS program. And after going to many schools, we opened the door to the first prison, which was the Bucks County Youth Detention Center, and then St. Gabriel's Hall, and then going out to Greaterford Prison, working on death row, and going to more than 8 prison facilities in now 30 years. But I just tell you, the theme once again is finding God, whether it be in the school, in a classroom, in a prison cell, in a recovery home where we went for 7 years over at the House of Adonai on Frankfurt Avenue. Finding God in your life, in my life, is really important. And so today we want to talk about the critical aspect of success in reentry and recovery. And for many years now, the WINGS program has been a vehicle by which people are changed in many ways. And so one of the things we want to talk about is recovery itself. And in prison, we have seen many men, more than 50%, who are either using drugs or selling drugs. The business of selling drugs has never been better than it is today. And so our job is to prevent people from taking drugs, selling drugs, to securing their freedom, to coming home to reintegration in their families, and to produce results, to bear great fruit as God calls us to. And with that, WINGS has been the vehicle once again by which we have touched the hearts and minds of many men, thousands of men, thousands of students, many women. And in the area of recovery, we have seen great results. And I believe that it's because of the fact that we have a spiritual focus within the WINGS program, and that we are identifying the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. He is at the helm of our lives. And so as we begin the program and look at priorities in life, we talk about God first, and then you, and then family, and then work, and then community service and hobbies and sports. We put God at the forefront of everything we do in the WINGS program to draw him in to the lives of the people we are working with, both in prison, on probation, on house arrest, out on bail, in recovery, those of you who are in depression, who have anxiety, those who are in transition, one way or another, God will help you to find balance once again. And when we talk about balance in the WINGS program, we truly, you know, identify spiritual, mental, and physical for the soul, mind, and body, that we need to feed all three in a positive way. Now, in doing the WINGS program 30 years ago, we took that program and put it under a nonprofit organization, My Father's Vineyard, which is now in its 22nd year. It was formed in May 2001. And basically, you know, we have done a lot of good works in the nonprofit, and the WINGS program truly drives the work that we do today. And so if you're out there thinking about forming a nonprofit or doing some good work in the area of recovery, we're going to go through some of the steps that you're going to need to take to get that off the ground, because it doesn't just happen overnight. It requires work, and there's got to be some passion, some zeal and enthusiasm. There's got to be some knowledge and insight to what you're doing and how to help people to get well once again. Nationwide, there's an 83% failure rate in the area of recovery. People go through a recovery program and then they regress sometime in the near future and go back into recovery once again. So success in recovery is hard to find if you don't have a strategy for success. And I believe that we do. And the strategy is to get God on board, to tune people into the channel that God, you know, is offering. In the Word of God is through and through the WINGS program and the work that we do in WINGS itself, both the recovery and within prison walls. But if you're going to start a recovery home, okay, one of the things you're going to have to do is have a residence. And the residence is important, because you have to have a place where people can come to take a program that will help them to recover from the drug of choice, alcoholism, opiates, fentanyl, heroin, methamphetamine, cocaine, crack cocaine, You name it, it's out there. And so when you do start a recovery home, you do have to have a residence for sure for people to come. And it's got to be stable. But before we do that, we've got to have, you know, a license. We've got to be certified in the state of Pennsylvania under the Department of Drug and Alcohol as a program. We've got to have that residence, and it's got to be legitimate. And we want to form basically a nonprofit organization in the state of Pennsylvania. We want to go to the federal government in Washington to get a letter of determination to become a tax-exempt organization. And those things require time. They require patience. But more than that, you've got to have a mission. You've got to be able to explain the mission, what it is you're about to take on, how you're going to do it, why you're going to do it. You've got to show the need for what it is you're doing. And then, you know, you'll get your letter of determination, become a tax-exempt organization where people can donate to your organization. And then you'll be able to have funds available to do the work you want to do. But it's not something that is easily done. You've got to prove you are who you say you are. And once you are on paper, that nonprofit organization in the state of Pennsylvania or New Jersey, wherever you're working, and you have that letter of determination, each and every year you'll have to do your taxes. They call them the 990s. Form 990 is for nonprofit organization. And those organizations out there who take in donations must do their annual taxes. If you take in more than $25,000 a year, then you have to become a public charity. And you have to fill out that annual form as well. And so with that, the nonprofit organization who's doing great work in recovery or reentry is making an impact on the lives of many people. But you've got to be open. You've got to be transparent. You got to be willing to be critiqued and evaluated, assessed. You got to prove you are who you say you are. Now, this week I had a conversation with a couple of gentlemen who called me because they were interested in forming a recovery home, but truly knew nothing about how to do it. They do have a couple of residences, so they have to do the administrative work. And so the administrative work is important. The legal work is important. And before someone, you know, decides to send you a donation, a contribution of $1,000 or $20,000 or $1 million, whatever it is, you've got to be established. You've got to be credible. You've got to be stable. You've got to be, once again, who you say that you are on paper. And God has given us truly the insight to this over 22 years of running a nonprofit to basically offer some suggestions, some advice, and to help people to do the right things. It is not easy to run a nonprofit organization. It is not easy to run a recovery home. It's sometimes dangerous. It's sometimes sad. It's sometimes difficult. We celebrate the victories, but also we sometimes have to re-energize because of, you know, challenges, struggles with people who are overcoming drugs and alcohol. Very difficult. These are the people who have lost families. Some have lost their homes, their driver's licenses. Some have been incarcerated and now released and mandated to come to this recovery home. And so these are difficult situations, not to be taken lightly. The recovery home requires 100% accountability. There is nothing less that we can do because within a home, sometimes people who are addicted will bring things in and will actually get high within the home, in a bedroom. Occasionally, someone will overdose because of that habit pattern, which has not been broken yet. So we've got to look in and make sure that there's security, there's accountability, there's dependability, there's honesty, sincerity, respect. There's got to be a level of trust from everybody who enters that recovery home to the people who work at that home, who run that home from morning, sunrise to sunset and through the night. Because I have seen people overdose and who have not, awakened. And right there under the nose of the director of the recovery home. And this is what it is, out there in the world, because when you are addicted, the draw is very great. It's very strong. And so not only do you have to have your residence and your documentation within the state and within the federal government, not only do you need the funding to provide funds for food, electricity, furniture, all kinds of things that you're going to need, but you need accountability. You need people who understand, the golden rule, how to treat others as you would like to be treated. But we need to have accountability at the highest level. And that's how we run the WINGS program within prison walls, within house arrest, probation, parole. And we try to uphold high standards. And we're looking for success in reentry and recovery. And it comes most often when we hold people accountable at the highest levels. Because we want the best for our people. Now, in terms of the WINGS program, we operated for 7 years down in Kensington at the House of Adonai on Frankfurt Avenue. And each and every week we held the WINGS program there for 90 minutes. And we had great success. It was a complementary program to the 12-step program, which historically is, through Alcoholics Anonymous. And we have held the WINGS program in multiple recovery homes and in 8 prison facilities. And so I just tell you that because if you're out there thinking about getting involved in something like this, it may be worthwhile to get on board with another nonprofit who's already doing the work first to get your feet wet, to understand the challenges, the struggles, and what it takes day in and day out to get the job done. And remember, if you are called to start your own organization, your own NPO, as we say, the nonprofit organization, then God will help you to do it. But if you are not called to do that, maybe you're called to help someone else's nonprofit, because there is a lot to do in terms of the legal paperwork, the accounting paperwork, the actual administration of the house each and every day, and then to, have employees working with you, volunteers working with you who have the same passion, zeal, and enthusiasm to help these people who are coming in the door. And I just tell you that recently I had a conversation with a guy who is clean and sober for 10 years. And for 10 years, he's been going to at least 3 meetings a week and is a sponsor to other people. But this is a gentleman who almost lost his life due to opiates, due to the attraction to opiates. He ended up in a severe depression and with all kinds of mental issues, but was able to get a handle on it miraculously with, as he calls it, the help of his higher power. And, in the WINGS program, we called a higher power, our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven. And so we want to be clear that Wings is a faith-based program, and we use aviation analogies to help men to get their captainship and their manhood. But this gentleman is successful for 10 years, and he continuously must go to weekly meetings several times a week because of the draw to opiates still. It's still there, although he's clean and sober. He knows that he's a suffering addict, and he must be careful. He sometimes lives at home with his father, although he has his own apartment. And sometimes there may be a draw to go into the refrigerator, and there might be an open bottle of champagne or something, and he once again feels a very big draw to embrace that bottle. But he did not, and he's holding to it. But because of his father's inability to get rid of an open bottle of champagne and to work with him, he has to redesign his life and really not live with his father anymore. So if you're out there and you are recovering drug addict or alcoholic, someone who's been addicted to drugs or alcohol, and you have family members around you who are creating an environment which is not conducive for sobriety, you need to make changes, and you need to do it now, because recovery, once again, nationwide, is hard to do. And for that reason, there's a 17% success rate in recovery. And to stay on that line and to be successful in recovery, you've got to redesign your life to eliminate all bad habits, all negative people, anything that's going to draw you back into the drug of choice, or to be in an environment where you may use again, you must eliminate. Because a lot of the people who have been involved with drugs or alcohol severely have been, incarcerated, have been given suspensions and driver's licenses, revocations, have served time. They've been involved in car accidents. And the job of the Wings program is one and the same: to prevent. And we want to do that as soon as we can. We try to work swiftly to take the right actions each and every day so that we can help people to rebuild their lives. And it's a work in progress. But, I encourage you, if you're out there thinking about forming a nonprofit organization, a recovery home, and getting yourself situated so you can receive people who are addicted to drugs or alcohol, to, give us a call at 215-771-7501. Again, 215-771-7501, and maybe we can help. But I tell you this, there is a great need for success in recovery. There's a great need for people who want to help people who need recovery programs. And so if you're out there and want to help, you give us a call once again at 215-771-7501. And if you look at some of the people who are using today, you want to go back in their lives and figure out, how did this begin? And for us here at Holy Spirit Radio, we have had the blessing of many people coming on the show and sharing their story. And some of the people have come on, people like Sarah Benneker, Jeff Collins, Jacoby McFadden, Bob Beck, and many, many more. Some people have started, early and were introduced to the drug of choice or alcohol by a father or an uncle or family member. So what kind of environment do you have in your home? Is it conducive for sobriety, to be clean and sober? Or is it a careless and even reckless situation, as we say in aviation? You know, when something is careless or reckless, that's a serious situation in aviation. If you operate an airplane in a careless manner or reckless manner, and you killed people, you might be incarcerated when this case is done, because you operated the vehicle, the aircraft, in a careless way, or you operated it in a reckless way intentionally. And that's something you want to look at. So, you know, we study cases both in automobiles and airplanes, and we want to figure out the best strategy for prevention. And one of the things we look at is the integration of the reports from the National Transportation Safety Board in aviation. And those reports tell us exactly why and how the accident occurred. And we use that to gain wisdom. And we teach prevention on the other side with new pilots. Same thing applies here. How did this person get a DUI 8 times? How did he do that? How did a person get a DUI on a revoked license? How did this person get charged with multiple counts of assault with a motor vehicle? These are the situations that we've encountered in the WINGS program. You know, and there's thousands of them. And I just tell you this because it's interesting, and we're looking out for our children today. We want to make sure our children and young adults are not driving under the influence, are not in the wrong car with the wrong people who are driving under the influence, who are driving carelessly or recklessly. I want you to make an impact on the world, my friends. One person at a time, starting with your own family. That's our show for today, my friends. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. Have a great day. God bless, and drive safe. Take good care.